Well, welcome to Christian Man's Life Group podcast. This is Ken, and joining me today is Floyd. How you doing, bud?
Good, how are you doing, Ken?
I'm doing great. Today we're going to be on Matthew 15 and Matthew 16. First question is going to be, when the scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus, what did they ask him? I'm going to tackle this one first, Floyd. Scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus, they questioned his disciples for not observing the traditions of hand washing before eating. And Jesus countered by pointing out the hypocrisy in the priority traditions over God's commandments. Floyd, I got a question. Jesus was referencing a prophet Isaiah. What that was in regarding?
Yeah, actually, the prophet Isaiah had said, and I just talked about this at church on Sunday. He said, "These people," and he was referring to the Israelite people, "honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are but rules taught by men." And Isaiah was saying this from God, applying it to the people of Israel. That they said they follow God. If he were saying it today, it would be, you're talking the talk, but you're not walking the walk. You're not living it out. Your hearts are far from God. And I love the way in the Complete Jewish Bible, which takes the language of that day and shows you how people would have read it in that day. It doesn't say they worship me in vain. It says their worship is utterly useless. And it's useless because they take the teachings taught by men and replace them with the doctrines of God.
That's awesome. And you know what? Right when you were talking about that, I wanted to talk to you about something I heard during a sermon at my church. We had a guest speaker from, I think, Sudan preaching and about this story. And they started their church because they couldn't, because there was a bunch of rebels and they didn't allow Christian to get together. They would get together and it started getting larger and larger. Well, one day they were going through Sunday celebration. They had their hands up. They're feeling God's presence. They felt great. They felt connected. They felt God's love. And then all of a sudden, rebels came on in there. They had the gun, the AK-47s in their hand. I said, "You know what?" I said, "Who in here? I'll give you guys one chance. Who in here believes this, and who doesn't believe?" Congregation got quiet, and then 15 minutes later, half of the congregation fled. All of a sudden, the rebels put down their guns, and this is based on a true story. They put down their guns. They said, "You know what? I want to get the hypocrite people out of the way. I'm ready to worship God." And I heard that, and it's like, wow. It is. I mean, are you talking the talk, or are you gonna walk? And right when I heard that verse, it just brought back that. So question number two, it basically says, what was the first thing that Jesus said that God had commanded them? We pretty much answered that. So let's do number three, Floyd. What was the second thing that Jesus said to God that had commanded them? You know the second thing he said?
Well, the second thing is he said is that anyone who curses their mother or father is to be put to death, right? Because he said the commandments tell them to obey their father and mother. That's from Exodus chapter 20. But then he also said in Exodus 21, anyone who curses their mother or father is to be put to death, which sounds kind of extreme. But if you look at it in context, the word for curse is to despise or hold in contempt. But a more physical use of the word is to shake. And since that whole section is talking about personal injury, it is more likely, some theologians believe, that God is saying the child who despises their parents so much that they shake them or put hands on them is to be put to death. All right, which some say is a harsh penalty, but that's what the whole idea of the law. The consequences were so severe that people shouldn't want to violate it. And the point Jesus was making is what he states in verse 6, where he says that the Pharisees and the scribes were nullifying or canceling out the word of God in order to just honor their own traditions. So they had replaced some of their tradition, some of the doctrine of God with their traditions.
Great. Well, thank you, Floyd. Now, there's another question. I think we pretty much already answered it, but let me repeat the question. Where did Jesus and Isaiah say their heart was? And you said that on the other one, When we claim to honor God while our hearts are far from Him, our worship means nothing. So let's go on to question number 6. Whose daughter was severely demon-possessed, Floyd?
Yeah, so there was a Canaanite woman whose daughter was possessed by a demonic spirit. And the Canaanites were this group of people that were believed to practice very carnal things. So mostly things that, like, Jesus spoke against. And it's not probably something that we think about, but those same carnal things we have in our culture, the things that, you know, we think of the thou shalt nots, but that's the whose daughter it was, this daughter of a Canaanite woman.
All right. Well, that's great, Floyd. Now, what did Jesus say to this woman?
So Jesus told her, because she asked, you know, can you heal my daughter? She had heard about what Jesus was capable of and what he had been doing. And she asked, can you heal my daughter? And he said his primary responsibility was to the people of Israel, which is true because he was equipping the people of Israel to go out and share his word with others. He was also fulfilling prophecy, because I've heard a lot of people say, you know, here's who your Jesus is. He wouldn't help this poor woman in distress. And it's not that he wouldn't help her. It's that he was sent to the people of Israel to show, in fact, that he could fulfill prophecy. Other nations didn't have the history of Israel, along with the prophecies made by the Israelite prophets. The people of Israel did. So Jesus could come along and fulfill that prophecy and show, in fact, that he was God. So when she called him master, and was said she was willing to accept whatever crumbs he would do for her, and because she put her faith in his ability to heal her daughter or to expel a demon, Jesus praised her for her great faith. And that's probably the kind of faith that we don't think about, but it's probably the kind of faith that we need, where we look to Jesus outside of our cultural things and say, yeah, do we believe God can do everything that he said that he can do?
Amen. The next question is going to be, what phrase did Jesus give the woman? This answer would be found in Matthew 15, 28. Dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted, and your daughter was instantly healed. So, all right, well, I got the last question for Matthew 15. Why did Jesus have compassion on the multitudes? Can you get that one, Floyd?
Yeah, so he had seen these people for 3 days. He didn't want to endanger them. And this is one of the reasons why this account, the feeding of the 4,000, the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus showed compassion after he was speaking and provided, you know, food for all these people, is one of the reasons why at our Sunday celebrations, we have food every Sunday. I came from a church background where it wasn't just on special occasions and it wasn't just at the end, but there was food that people could engage in and eat during the Sunday celebration. And I know that makes a lot of people weird because they're like, why do you do that? And I'm like, well, when I look at all of the things Jesus did throughout the Bible, food and fellowship is a part of everything they did. And here Jesus shows compassion and then feeds all these people out of his compassion for them. So we never charge people for food. We don't use their tithe money for food. Either myself or my wife, and now other families have done the same thing, just go out and buy food to feed our congregation.
You know what? That's really good, because you know what? I remember visiting my parents. My parents live up in upstate New York, and over there is a lot Amish people. On their Sunday celebration, it's a all-day event. What they do is you see them go early in the morning, then they have a big feast at night, and they come home around 9 o'clock. It's just not like an hour and take off and go and do your stuff. It's a all-day event. All right, well, we are on to Matthew 16, Floyd. So first question of Matthew 16 is, what did Jesus mean when he said,
so beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And it's in some versions, instead of leaven, it will say yeast, because that was often equated in biblical terms, in their terminology, with sin. It's just one of those phrases they use. And We can kind of change it or dress it up however we want, but Jesus was calling the teachings of the Pharisees sinful. And here's the important thing. Jesus didn't demean them or degrade them to other people. He did when he spoke to them. He called them a brood of vipers. And earlier in that chapter, I think, you know, what, like he said, this is Isaiah had said of you, addressing the Pharisees and the scribes, that your heart is far from me. But when he talked to other people about them, like when he was warning his disciples to take heed and beware, he didn't demean them, but he did warn them about their teaching. And we're not supposed to ridicule or demean people, but we are supposed to warn others about their teachings and speak up when something is unbiblical, which is why in the Christian Men's Life group, one of the rules is, hey, it's fine for you to say, hey, the Bible says thou shalt not and enter whatever, but it's not cool for you to demean and ridicule another person or denominations that don't abide by it. That's not what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to say, hey, this particular act is wrong, or teaching that this thing is okay is not in line with scripture. Yeah, we can do that. But then ridicule or demeaning or cutting down other people, not cool. Because if we think about it, up until Jesus came, all of the disciples thought everything the Pharisees and Sadducees was teaching was true. They were taught, this is how we follow God. And the same is true of people who may be in other denominations or other religions that we may look at and say, well, that's not really following God. But that's what they were taught. This is how you follow God. So if we start ridiculing and demeaning them, they're going to get defensive. But we can do what Jesus did, which is to warn them and say, hey, just make sure and be aware of what you're being taught. Make sure it lines up with scripture and it's biblical doctrine.
I see that a lot. And it's sad, too, because you'll have some people that just, you know, they'll be closed-minded. Or if you have these people, you know, kind of jump on their thing, that's not all right. You got to love your brother. You got to, our motto is iron sharpens iron. We got to sharpen each other and we got to love each other. And we have to be there for each other, not to ridicule them, because all they're going to do is push them further away from God. So, all right. Well, Floyd, question number two. Which people came to Jesus to ask him to give them the sign that he was a Messiah?
The Pharisees and Sadducees, they came and asked Jesus for a sign. They wanted him to show them something to prove he had the divine authority to make the claims that he was making. Now, again, these are the people who are supposed to know the scriptures, yet as Jesus had pointed out, they were ignoring all the ways that he fulfilled the scriptures. And they were nullifying the scriptures to replace them with their man-made doctrines. And this is why it is so important. I tell people all the time, I plead with people in videos and online for people to read their Bibles and ensure that what they're being taught lines up with scriptures. And that if they have questions, ask. You know, ask your pastor, ask your small group leader, ask your Bible study leader. I love that folks in our group, in the Christian Men's Life group, they ask questions all the time. And some are really complex, and some are kind of simple. Some are like, wow, this is a question, you know, we've seen hundreds of times, but it shows up again because somebody just stepped across the line of faith. And they're like, I'm new to Christianity, and I heard all these things, and I want to ask these questions. So that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing with Jesus. They were asking for a sign, when in fact, everything that he had been doing fulfilled scripture and gave the miracles themselves were a sign that he had the divine authority to make the claims that he was making and do the things that he was doing. He had already shown the ability to heal. He had already shown divine authority over the elements, over nature itself. And if someone does that, what more can you ask for?
Well, thank you, Floyd. Next question is going to be, some Jews thought Jesus was which person? Can you grab that one, bud?
Yeah, this is a fundamental question that Jesus asked and that every Christian should have a clear understanding of. Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they responded. Some said John the Baptist, who was resurrected. Others said Elijah, which, again, was a fulfillment of prophecy that said Elijah would return before the coming of the Lord. Jesus actually told them that John the Baptist had fulfilled that prophecy because he was the Lord. And then Peter acknowledged that Jesus was, hey, you're the Messiah, the promised Redeemer and ruler of Israel, and acknowledged that he was the Son of the living God. And here's a question that every Christian has to answer is, who do I think Jesus is? Is he just a good teacher? Is he just a man? Is he fully God? There are some denominations that teach differently about who Jesus is. And we have to look and say, does what they teach line up with what Jesus showed us to be in Scripture and who he said he was in the Scripture?
That was awesome. Which sign would God give mankind to prove that Jesus is the Messiah? I'll do this one. In Christianity, the sign that God gave to prove Jesus is the Messiah is Jesus' resurrection from the dead. This event, along with his teaching and miracles. All right, Floyd, we're going to go on for our last question. Our last question is, when Jesus asked his disciples to tell him who he was, what answer did Peter give him? I'm going to answer this one, Floyd, and then you can also answer it. The meaning of this verse has been a subject of debate for centuries. Some say the keys representing the authority to carry out church discipline, legislation, and administration, while others say that the keys give the authority to announce the forgiveness of the sins, which states in John 20, 23. Still, others say the keys may be the opportunity to bring people to the kingdom of heaven by presenting them with this message of salvation found in God's word, Acts 15, 7 through 9. The religious leaders thought they held the keys of the kingdom, and they tried to shut out people. We cannot decide to open or close the kingdom of heaven for others, but God uses us to help others find the way inside. To all believers in Christ and obey his word, the kingdom of the doors are swung wide open. Now, Floyd, do you have anything on this one?
No, I think you pretty much answered it. Peter acknowledged that Jesus was Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus responded that you're Peter, and on this rock I'm gonna build my church, and the gates of heaven won't overcome it, and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And like you said, people debate that over and over and over. And this is where understanding the language of that day and the idioms of that day kind of help make sense. But no matter what agreement we come to, it doesn't change the fact that, Peter acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ, and the Christ means the Messiah, and that he was the Son of the living God. And that's who we as Christians, if we're God-honoring, Holy Spirit-filled Christians, should acknowledge who he is. He's not just a man. He's not just a good teacher. He was fully man and fully God. And as the Son of God, the Redeemer and Messiah and Restorer of Israel.
Awesome, Floyd. Well, Floyd, that was that went by really quick. It's always a pleasure having a podcast with you, talking about Matthew 15 and 16. Next week, we're going to be going over 17 and 18. We just want to thank everyone that joined us. And then also, if you have any questions for me or Floyd, please leave it in the comments section. And thank you for joining us, and bye for now.